This is a Gulf Stories moment made possible by StoryLab at the University of West Florida Innovation Institute.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another Gulf Stories moment. My name is Christian Garman from the University of West Florida's Innovation Institute, and my guest today, Michael Toman, Museum Manager and Research Associate for UWS Florida Public Archaeology Network. How are you, Michael?
I'm good. Thanks for letting me on again.
Of course. I would imagine at this point our regular listeners hear your voice and think, oh, we're talking pirates today.
Am I a celebrity now?
That's good. You are blowing up, no
okay.
doubt, up and down
I'll take it.
Coast.
Sure.
So we talked about this some, but it's highly interesting. You know, we all are familiar with the term pirates. And I think a lot of us had heard the term privateers. I had made the mistake of – I sort of thought they were the same thing. That I'm very wrong, correct?
From a legal standpoint, yeah, you're wrong. I mean, there was certainly a legal distinction, but in practice, they were pretty similar as far as the research I've looked at.
Sure. All right, so let's talk about – let's just start with pirates. I mean, most people, I think, yeah, I know what pirates did. Why don't you tell us? What's a typical day for a pirate in terms of the illegalities that they might do?
Well, I'm not sure, you know, there was a typical day really for a pirate,
gotcha.
But certainly what made them a pirate is the fact that they were on a ship and they were attacking and stealing from other ships.
Is that something they would do, you know, that's once a year or every 3 days they're hitting up a new ship?
I mean, just kind of depends. I mean, if you're a complete pirate outlaw, then that you're, you know, doing this sort of activity. It could have been something that they could have made a career out of, but I think most of the ones were not really that successful. If they were lucky, they would have done it for a couple years and survived. But most didn't live very luxurious lives. You know, the famous pirates that we think of, people like Blackbeard.
Sure.
In fact, he ultimately died as a result of his pirate activities. So you find even ones that were successful ended up, you know, if you live by the sword, sometimes you end up dying by the sword.
It is interesting, isn't it? Because again, pirates, I think more than a lot of things, is kind of romanticized, you know what I mean, in books and movies. And then if you really get into it, as you have, you start to find out it wasn't quite as romantic as people maybe think.
Oh, yeah. And people, you know, of course, this is something that's been repeated in romantic publications for, you know, really since the 1700s, particularly in the mid-1800s. And then, of course, with movies and film and Hollywood,
it
kind of perpetuates all these pirate myths that persist to this day. And you can't really blame people for thinking that, you know, buried treasure was a real thing. You know, there are a couple cases of that happening, but it was certainly pretty rare for a pirate to bury treasure. It was, in fact, pretty rare for a pirate to get lucky enough to attack a ship that had actual coinage on it. Most pirates, even privateers, when they attacked merchant ships, they weren't really getting gold and silver coins. That's certainly something they would want to get. But usually what they ended up with were the goods that were mass-produced goods that were intended for the global markets that were being shipped on these vessels, or raw materials that were going from one country to another. Or in fact, especially when you get to the early 1800s, one of the things that pirates and even privateers were kind of keeping their eye out for were ships that had slaves on board.
I want to talk I'm glad at the end there you got back a little to privateers, because we've covered pirates here, and I want to talk a little bit about privateers. What's, you know, as you said, in practice kind of the same thing, legally not. What's a privateer?
So a privateer simply had a letter of marque or a commission from a government that basically gave them legal permission to attack merchant ships from a country of which they were currently at war with. And so there were a whole set of legal frameworks and guidelines and rules that they were supposed to follow if they got these commissions or letters of marque. And letters of marques and commissions were slightly different, but some people use that term interchangeably.
Who were these people, these privateers, that were sort of confident enough to think, yeah, I'm ready to just go attack a ship, I can take it out? I mean, to me, it seems like kind of a risky proposition.
Yeah, I mean, they were all definitely experienced sailors for the most part. Some of them had prior service in the Navy. Some had just worked on merchant ships. Some had done it because they wanted to get rich or famous or wanted adventure. In other cases, when you talk about like the American Revolutionary War, War of 1812, Napoleonic Wars, it's simply these communities that had always been involved in maritime activities with war brought the fact that a lot of trade was brought to a halt. So they simply had no other means of making money than going out on a privateer ship.
And you, early on in the discussion this time around, you talked about, hey, you know, sometimes pirates, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. How frequent was that with privateers? I mean, were they losing their lives as frequently as pirates because, you know, it's a dirty business?
All right, it's hard to give like a good statistical number just because we just, you know, that a lot of the information is hard to come by. But yeah, I mean, they certainly had the same dangers that a pirate ship would have had to endure, certainly. You know, of course, they had the legal protections, unlike the pirates.
Right.
So, if a privateer was captured and, you know, they by a naval ship, and they were brought to court and tried. Sometimes they were tried as pirates for maybe doing things that looked like they might be actually illegal. They had that legal protection of the commission that could keep them from getting hanged, essentially. So
they had that going for
them. So that's why you'd want it. You certainly want a commission, yeah.
Michael Toman, the museum manager and research associate for UWS Florida Public Archaeology Network. Thank you very much. Enlightening discussion, as it is every time we talk. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
For more Gulf stories, visit uwf.edu/gulfstories.